What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clocks Run, the podcast, everything flag football. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Aaron.
Wow, you really had a nice little delay there. I thought you would say, like, I'm Mr. Clean, or, you know. Or I'm you're not the Michelin man.
It's already growing back.
Yeah,
it's
no, already you growing need back. A haircut.
I spent a lot of years with nothing on my face and nothing up top, and
you just went.
But you know, yeah, just flipped it around. So yeah, so we are live at what did Jed just say? Half past? Is that what he said?
I don't. It's half past five, man. Half five.
Yeah, there we go.
Don't say pass. This is not your grandpa in the 30s.
I don't.
Okay. New York. It's half five, man. Which is half.
Oh, half five. Yeah, and half 11 for our other guest. We are live on Instagram, and I'm seeing comments coming through. This is cool. I also Facebook, YouTube. We're going to see comments on the screen. So
MySpace.
Tap in. Bro, you got to let MySpace die, man. Okay?
Never, let it die. I'm keeping it alive. Me and four other adult film stars.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Okay. Yeah, so do you want to get right into it with the guests that are drinking their 10th cup of coffee for the day to stay up for us?
Let's do it. Bring them on. I'll let you drop the intros. You've been watching all the Euro Cup that just played. So let's hear it, man. Give them the intro.
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Euros was amazing. Like 45 teams, something crazy like that. I was watching games at 3 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 8 in the afternoon. I don't know what time it was, but they were great. And I thought I had Jets on the sideline, but, man, first and foremost, Jed is a speed demon on the sideline. What up, Jed?
Of course he is. Yeah. What up, man?
What I cut from the video was me running over the player who ended up in front of me. Like,
hey, you, if you're gonna be a bulldozer, be the best.
I look rapid. We'll ignore me flattening the poor Italian guy who landed in front of me. Like, they don't need to know that bit. Like,
it's always the poor Italian guys that get taken out. I tell you. So.
Up in line, you know, so I was keeping going, like.
So next up, we have royalty in the building. This is amazing. I met him in Tampa last year. Same thing. The hustle does not stop. Marcus, welcome to Clocks Running. What's up, Marcus?
It's good. I'm glad to be here with you. Okay, yeah, I met you last week, and so, but it's okay to be with you again.
Welcome, gentlemen. For sure. Welcome.
Yeah, so this is huge for us. We appreciate having international officials on. You know, we try to cover the entire globe, as I like to say, the whole worldwide of flag football, or wide world. I don't know what I'm saying. But let's get right into it. When we have new guests on the show, we like to give you guys the opportunity to kind of share your origin stories. I don't know if you guys are into Marvel or DC Comics or everything like that, but every great superhero has an origin story. And in my opinion, don't listen to what Jacob thinks. I think you guys are superheroes. So let's start it off. Jed, just share, you know, kind of what brought you into flag football and what got you to the point you are in this world today.
So, It's a really fun story about what landed me in officiating, I guess, specifically. You know, I played, and this you know, for an American audience, this is always shocking. We have tackle football here, and it's not very good. Like, I caveat that massively with, you know, the standard ain't much, but, you know, I wanted to play. I played tackle football for a little bit when I was 16, 17. I mainly played it because I played some rugby as well, and I just enjoyed hitting people. And I played a little bit of tackle football when I was 16, 17, 18. And then I went to university or college, you know, if I'm translating. In my first week of college, my college had a nice hockey team. And I was like, yeah, I want to give that a go. I not really skated before, but like, again, it's not a big thing here. So I thought I'd take this up, and, you know, it helped that I lived on the same floor as I lived next door to a girl who was a figure skater. And you know, when you figure skaters, you can imagine that there's a certain image of a figure skater, like they're good looking girl. Let's put it that way. She was like, oh, you should try ice hockey. You should try ice hockey. And I thought, all right, you know, I'm at college for the first time. Let's try this out. And so I went along to it. I lasted 5 minutes, and I broke my ankle in 8 places and ended up having surgery and all this.
Oh, kind wow.
The long story short, don't try hockey to impress girls is the but like, and it kind of also meant that the tackle football that I had played before that kind of curtailed that career. You know, when you've got 10 screws and a plate in your ankle, it kind of means you can't do that same way. But I loved being involved with tackle, so I started officiating tackle football to stay involved just with the community and kind of help it. And you know, I've made a lot of friends. And at the same time, I kind of discovered flag as well and took up the flag officiating and just loved it ever since. And, you know, it was 4 years of doing stuff nationally here in the UK. And then I got my first kind of big break doing international stuff. So I went to my first IFAF tournament in 2015 and not really look back since then. You know, came to Miami in 2016 for the World Championships. 2018, I was in Panama for the Worlds. Done Euros in between then. Been all over the globe with this sport, and just been so lucky for the opportunities that came. And it, you know, it all stems back to me being an idiot 18-year-old who thinks I want to impress this girl by trying to skate. And if that hadn't happened, you know, I maybe wouldn't have made the choice to get into officiating, wouldn't have discovered flag as well. And so it's the butterfly effect or something, isn't it? You
know? Yeah. Yeah, it sounds exactly like Spider-Man's origin story, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Trying to impress a girl.
All right, so Jed's Peter Parker. Marcus.
Yeah.
lay it out for us, my friend. Give us the history, my friend.
History, yeah. I started, they show American football in school, actually. So it was 90, and I didn't start go to the practice of that year. So 91, I started and play my first game. And also, if you want to be part of the game, I need to know the rules. So I started to be an official and had my first game 91, my first tackle game. And I've done a lot of games since that. 2010, a friend asked me if I want to be a part of the national team in Sweden in flag football. So we went to Canada for the World Championship. And I started to officiate that, of course, during camps and more. 2019 was the first year I actually officiate flag. So I started later than Jed. And been to a couple of tournaments and did my best tournament ever in January. It's a place in Tampa. I don't know if you know this tournament, but and I will go back now in January again. That is the best thing I've done with flag football. It's
I can make Marcus feel really, really old here because he's talking about doing stuff in 91. I wasn't even born then.
Bro. Nah, I wasn't even.
Yeah, so.
I was thinking just the same thing. I was like, man, I wasn't even a twinkle in my dad's eye.
You haven't seen my flag yet. My old flag. I still have it. My first flag, I have it with me. I had it in Tampa, all the way to my back pocket. It's... So
that's awesome. Yeah.
And I have the June 9th next year is 35 years anniversary.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, you know, and I know on this side of the pond, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, this is the center of the universe for American football. But clearly, you guys in sharing your origin stories, there's been a lot going on for a lot of years, even before the United States got involved. So I want to kind of jump into that big games, you know. Marcus said it best. I mean, Tampa is where it's at. You know, it's now in the Guinness World Records for the largest, flag football tournament. Jed talking about, you know, all these international games. So, Jed, I want to hear it from you. What was the biggest game of flag that you officiated, and what do you think made it so big?
I mean, I think it's difficult. Such a proper answer to be like, oh, it's difficult to pick one. I worked the women's gold medal game at the World Championships last year, and it was, you know, I think flag football as a whole is in such an amazing place at the moment with the Olympics and all that kind of stuff, and you know, with that tournament being the first one after it was announced that we're in the Olympics and all that kind of stuff, we had so many eyes on it, and it just felt so like this was the everything coming to a point there. You know, that gold medal game last year, I mean, similarly, you know, just a couple of maybe last month, you know, we 2 months ago now, where when we were in Chengdu for the World Games, and that was just such a professional environment to kind of be in. It's, you know, from where I started, which is, you know, we're just in a field or whatever, to it feeling like something you would watch on TV. So again, like that gold medal game in Chengdu a couple of months ago was amazing. It was just it being part of that kind of you know, with a big screen, with a play clock, you know, with all those kind of bells and whistles you see in an NFL game almost as well. Like, that's just such an amazing kind of atmosphere to be in. But then, like, you know, I'm going to go for three. I'll stop at three. Like, I feel like I could just keep going and saying, well, this one was really good as well. Like,
right. But, we call it here in the States, your Mount Rushmore. Like, you're basically...
Let's go with that. Yeah. There you go. I mean, like, if I had to put it, it would be, the World Games final, you know, a couple of months ago, it would be the World Championship final last year. And then my other one is in 2018 when I worked the Women's World Championship final. And we were in Panama, and final was USA Panama, and you can imagine you're in Latin America the with a home crowd. It was rowdy, and it was a spicy game. And you know, I was referee for this game, and one of the other guys called a legal contact foul against Panama, first penalty of the game. And I remember thinking, that's like, oh, this isn't going to go down very well, is it? I'd never been, you know, I was used to flag being small, like not with a big crowd, but there was, you know, a couple of thousand people here and everything.
Yeah.
And it sounds weird, but, you know, it was almost weirdly enjoyable getting booed like loudly when I was like trying to announce penalty. I kind of relished it a little bit as I kind of stepped forward. I was like, and he sort of looked at me. He's like, I don't think you're going to be very popular when you announce this. And I wasn't very popular, but like, again, it's one of those memories that I have of just, you know, if I had to talk about one, maybe not a whole game, but like one specific memory, me getting booed by 3,000 angry Panamanians definitely is like, it's something that sticks in the brain.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that sounds intense for sure. I do want to say, I'm going to let this slide on that question, but I want you to understand, here on Clock's Running, when we ask a question, we need an answer. You got to pick.
Oh, there's no
skating around.
We're British. We're very kind of like, I'm British. I'm very kind of like, I can't like, you know, be all sorts of like, bam, bam, bam. Like, you know, you guys are like, we have to kind of waffle a little bit, but you know, I will try my absolute hardest, you know, that we will be like one individual ones. I'll cut all the fluff around the next one. Don't worry.
Listen, here's
they the don't deal. Even.
This is what we call good cop, bad cop. It's a problem. I got your back. Don't worry about it, Marcus. When you and your 35 years, what's the biggest game you've worked? Or give us a round about Rushmore. That's okay too. I don't care.
They don't even. They, you know what? Hold on. They don't even carve people's faces in mountains in Europe. So that he can't even bring that up.
I wouldn't either. But that's beside the point.
Go ahead, Marcus. I'm sorry. I interrupted. Jeez. I'm fired up.
One game. Oh, okay. Opening game, World Games 2022, U.S. against Panama, women. That is, but a really good game that I have still in my memory. It was actually in Ireland, my first game as a referee that tournament, and it was Belgium against Georgian. It's two really bad teams. But the game was, for me, it was good. I had a really good game. So it must be the biggest games to have a good game.
Okay, crew was I like good that.
And everything. And you go from the game and think, this was good. It's still a good game. So...
Yeah, okay, so Panama, U.S., you said that was the opening game. So why was that such a big game for you?
Because it was World Game.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Not the World Games.
Yeah. Hey, don't make me bring up the two-time champions of the World Games. I got my jersey ready. Come on.
I don't think you would have that thing leave the desk.
I don't. Nobody. Basically, I wear it 6 days a week. This is the only day I don't wear it.
Sounds about right. I mean, so like,
it was so big to stay there in that arena. It just started and blew the first down. It was amazing to be there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, I think, Jed also, but Marcus, you've had such a span, you know, like, I mean, these two young bulls here, they weren't even alive in 1991. I remember being in kindergarten in 1991. But you know, that's a huge span of being involved in a sport. So I just think kind of wrapping your head around the fact of like, you know, what did the games look like back then? So now this is, you know, just one step below the Olympics. I could see how you're just kind of like walking into that arena, like, well, we're here now.
Yeah,
for sure. So I want to get into inside the lines with you guys. You guys have a wealth of knowledge. Now I know again here in the United States, we play all kinds of different crazy forms of flag football, and we have a lot of fun doing that. And when I was playing, it made it worth it for me to travel across the country because I could play like 25 games in a couple days and I didn't care what format it was. But internationally, there's definitely, you know, we got IFAF and that's like the main course, the bread and butter of what we see for flag football. So, you know, I'm curious. I want to hear your guys' thoughts, opinions, as much as you can share and all that. But the thing that I'm noticing a lot of recently is, and maybe this has been going on for a while, but so because of the illegal contact on the offense where that penalty could turn into like a 35-yard penalty if you're not careful, the response for defenders is they get that right of place and they do a nice little flop without contact. Some compare it to LeBron James, some like the say it's a soccer flop. Jed, do you foresee that changing or going away? Is there some response to it, the flopping? What are your thoughts?
For me, we want the sport to be a good product, you know, because that's not just the players, that's the spectators, that's for people watching it on TV or whatever, and people incentivizing people to throw themselves at the ground doesn't make a good product. It makes it, you know, I feel like I understand a lot of the reasons for the way the rule is kind of structured from an IFAB perspective and why those kind of rules exist, and the fact that they want to, it, you know, we're much more pushed towards that non-contact side of things, where perhaps you know you guys are a little bit more loosey-goosey, let's say, with that kind of side of with what we let go and what we call and what we don't. But you know, I do think that kind of needle has perhaps swung a little bit too far the kind of other way, and we're now putting defenders especially in a position where they have the incentive to kind of throw themselves at the ground and try and buy a foul, because it's such a big penalty for the offense. And it's difficult, because I don't really blame the defenders who do it, because just win, baby. You know, like they want to do whatever they can to kind of like, you know, get a result. And especially, you know, with the sport becoming more professional and it meaning more and more and more for teams to win, like they will do everything they can do to try and get that win. So I don't really blame them for wanting to put a little bit of extra mustard on those falls or whatever, however you want to sort of describe it. But
these phrases are great.
I think it is something that we as officials have a responsibility to kind of try and understand when is it actually a legitimate kind of contact, and when is it someone who's just throwing themselves at the floor and is trying to sell it to us. And you know, I don't necessarily, I don't, I think the genie's out of the bottle a little bit with it, in terms of like, you know, that like they know what they can do now, and all we're doing is playing catch up and trying to figure out, all right, which are the ones we call. And I think, you know, it's got better, certainly. I think one of the main things we as a top level of IFAF officials talk about so much now is about, all right, which ones do we actually want to call? We went through perhaps a phase where we were like calling so much of this illegal contact offense, and it was killing the game. And I think it doesn't make it a good product to watch. You know, no one wants to watch a game with 20 flags in it or something like that.
You're going down a road I want to go down so bad. Keep going though. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. No one wants to watch that. And you know, I feel like our big kind of push over the last, you know, kind of couple of years has been, all right, let's get the big ones, but let's not be stupid. Let's create something that is watchable and is enjoyable for spectators to, you know, take in, and for players to be a part of, because otherwise we just end up killing the sport. And like, if we're on these massive stages, like no one wants to watch, like I say, no one wants to watch a game with 25 flags in it. And you know, I do a lot of referee, and me having to make an announcement every other play or something like that, I just think it's a balance to strike, you know, between keeping people safe and creating that good you know, watchable product. And
right,
you know, we might have gone the wrong way, you know, but we might have gone a little bit too far once away, but I do think we're doing a better job now of bringing it back to something that is good for everyone.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because so little background on me and folks watching, my I used to, when I played, when I first got introduced to flag, I was a part of the contact format, still am. Blocking, all legal, everything's good. The nastier the hit, the better off they are, the more excited they get. It wasn't until probably 2021, 2022 that I really started noticing international play, IFAB, and not understanding that, you know, everything, it was so cut and dry, where if there, it looked like somebody made contact, there was a penalty. You know, we would come back to you know, we, Ant and I would watch the last couple of years, you know, we've watched, you know, the international games, and we've said there's been a lot more contact these last couple of years than what was previously allowed. So hearing what you said, that now sounds like we're opening up to where, okay, we're not going to, a brush by is not going to be called. You know, things like that. We're letting them play football. You know, we're not necessarily, we're not letting, you know, it get egregious and letting it go over the top, and we're creating a good product. But it sounds to me like things are moving in a more progressive way.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think you and Marcus both probably see a lot more of it in Europe than we would here in the States.
I think, and the challenge we have as well is, it's fixing. Like, I think it's changing those expectations for players and players and coaches here that perhaps, you know, obviously with you know, in North America, it's always been that a little bit kind of looser or whatever. Yeah. If we're perhaps kind of trying to loosen it up a little bit here, and you know what they're used to and what they think, you know, this was always getting called or whatever, it means that you get, you know, you have some teething issues where they're thinking like, why isn't this being called? This should be called. And in reality, you know, I mean, like we're kind of looking a little bit at the sort of bigger picture and kind of trying to think about it that way. So yeah, it is. The way I always describe it as what the contact level should be is it's basketball. Our IFAF flag in particular is a basketball, because basketball, there's contact, you know, there's
could
be quite a lot of contact in basketball, but you know, it doesn't get, not everything's a whistle and a foul. And yeah, like if I'm making that comparison, that's where I see IFAF flag as being in terms of the contact that we allow within it. It's not full contact, but it's certainly like when people describe it as non-contact, I hate that as a description for the level that we play at, because it's not non-contact. Like, you know, any game you watch, there's so much touching, there's so much feeling, there's so much gentle squeezing, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, there's all sorts of like
gentle squeezing. We're going.
There's all that kind of stuff going on. Like, you know, and we let that go. We look for the big stuff and what we should be. I'm not saying that everyone does, and you know, we get stuff wrong occasionally, but we should be looking for that big stuff that actually has an impact, as opposed to, you know, a DB and a receiver who like to sort of gently touch each other to know where they are.
Right. Okay. So yeah, go ahead, Ant. Sorry.
Oh no, I just right away. I mean, you said that about it being called non-contact, and I know I can be a very, like, I live and die by the rule book. I read these words, and that's what I've appreciated, honestly, when I officiated IFAF games. I was at the Continentals in Charlotte a couple years ago, and we did a training, and I felt like I was like, oh, okay, it sounds like basically I'm throwing a flag almost every other play. And when I didn't throw a flag every other play, I remember having somebody with more experience coming up to me afterwards or at halftime and saying, okay, explain to me why you didn't throw that penalty flag there. And I'm thinking to myself, that dude was 5 yards out of bounds. Like, this play was completely over. There was incidental contact. Like, what, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me. But having it kind of ingrained and understanding, and then, like Jacob said, us watching it since then, I feel like it's been very much like a slow progression of like, oh, okay, we're letting a lot more contact go. This is very different than what I was trained in. It's getting closer and closer to, you know, what you could say American non-contact. But it is hard because soccer, basketball, those are contact sports. You know, I watch my daughter play high school soccer on a weekly basis right now, and I'm having to explain to my dad a lot, like, well, this is a contact sport. They're pushing, they're shoving the elbows, all this stuff. An official's not going to call that. Now, when you put the term non-contact on a game, it makes me, as an official, say, well, then we can't allow contact in that context, and we're not officiating basketball and soccer. Marcus, what are your thoughts?
I agree with this, that it's a wrong name, non-contact football. And when I try to explain for people here in Sweden, what are you doing? What are you officiating? Flag football, what's that? They call it non-contact football, but it's allowed to contact, but you cannot do it too hard. So non-contact, yeah or no? So, and I, for me, it's, if it's okay with the contact, if it's a good contact, let them play. But we as official need to set the level. How do they want to play? And is it by the rules? And then, so it's hard to say. But it, compared to US, those games in Tampa, that is non-contact football, they almost kill each other. So they need to take it down a little.
I feel
Jed, I know you got a lot to say, Jed. Go right ahead.
I feel like it's, yeah, like that, you know, when, like, where it needs to probably be sits somewhere between what we call, what you guys call, you know what I mean? Like, there's probably...
There's a balance. Like,
the line sits between that. Just, you know, if no one pulls out a gun or a knife, then we're fine. No blood, no foul. Like, it's all good. Or, like, you know, like, where perhaps we were, you know, a few years ago, where it was like, you know, we were having flags all the time. And, you know, there's definitely a kind of a balance for us to strike between those two. And we're such a young sport in general, like, and it's developing still so much. I can't, you talk about basketball or soccer, that's like everything's so established. I know basketball, for example, there's variations between what the NBA play, what NCAA, what they play over here in Europe.
Right. But
fundamentally, it's all pretty, yeah, pretty much, like, right, you know, we're talking minor variations. Whereas with us as flag, you know, we've got so many different, like, codes and different levels and all that kind of stuff. And that still needs time for us to kind of move to a point where we start all getting on the same level and it all becomes a little bit more aligned and everything. So I do, you know, I don't think it's a problem that we kind of have this stuff happening right now. I think it's just a natural kind of consequence of it being a newer sport and something that needs to kind of develop a little bit more as well. So, you know, we'll get there. Like I said, like, I think stuff like the Olympics and whatever, we want it to look good. We don't want it to be tons of flags and everything. So we need to, you know, be pushed, all of us together, to kind of get it to that kind of that better place as quickly as possible. But, you know, we'll get there, and I think it'll be great. And we just need to keep working and keep aligning across different countries, across different codes or whatever, and just get us to that point.
You did bring up that, you know, you kind of were going through a little bit of almost like a teething phase with kind of the way you guys are moving in that direction. Marcus and Jeb, do you guys both see more growing pains with that and moving to where things are allowed and kind of laxing a little bit? Or do you see it where, because again, like, you being in Europe, you guys play this format a lot more than we do. You know, we have an Olympic format in the States that what we, you know, with USA flag that we call Olympic. It's close. It's not quite exactly the same. But we don't, there's not a lot of IFAF, you know, rules being used. Do you guys see more conformance and conformity to that? Or do you see more pushback from teams and coaches and organizers with trying to lax up with what you're trying to do?
I mean, I think ultimately all the players want and all the coaches want and all, you know, all they want is consistency from us. Sure. And, you know, I mean, if they know where we stand with it now, I do think that I don't want to say we're loosening up. I don't think we are necessarily. I think we're just getting better at our jobs as officials at understanding what actually is a foul and what actually isn't. You know, I don't think we've suddenly become less strict or whatever. But, you know, I do think that in general, players prefer that. Yeah. You know, I think they you know, want to, in a perfect world, we just want to let them crack on and just do what they need to do, and we only need to get involved if someone does something really stupid. But like, which, right. Yeah, depending on what team you're doing, can be very often, or can be, you know, like,
right.
Some of them are pretty good. So like, I do think we're kind of, I do think they probably do prefer this a little bit. It depends who you ask, because, you know, some of these teams, especially at an IFAF level, some of them are, you know, more on that physical side of things. I'm not going to name any names, but there are some teams that, you know, even at an international level, like they are super, super physical. And it's almost like that, you know, when people talk about the Seahawks, you know, defense a few years ago, where it's like, they won't call holding on us if we do it every play. Like, and there are teams that are like that. And, you know, they will be that physical, because they know. I mean, I know I'm not going to call contact, you know, illegal contact, or, you know, DPI or whatever, every play, because I look like an idiot if I do that every play. You know what I mean? Like, right. So, like, there are teams who play like that. And then there'll be teams who are super, super disciplined and really stick very rigidly to those rules. And for some of them, you know, I think for them, it might be a little bit more frustrating if we're starting to loosen things up a little bit. But at the same time, like I said, I think it's for the good of the sport in general. Like, we need to be finding that right level and that right balance to get us to where we need to be.
Yeah, for sure. Marcus, what are you seeing in Sweden?
I think in Sweden, we are actually much harder than international. We throw more flags for legal contact. And that, in general, I think when Sweden is coming out and playing the national team outside, they complain, but come on, it's illegal contact, but we need to have a little higher level here in Sweden. And but it, that Jed said, it's if you look at the top team in Europe, they play much better now compared to a couple of years ago. They do it more. For, in my point of view, it's easier to officiate the game, top-level game. And a friend to me that is a head coach for one of the national teams, he said that the level of the quality of the referees were much better this championship compared to 2015, the first year for Jeds. that was the last year he was involved in. And I think that is good for the sport, that the referees is better and better. It's my former head coach said that the quality of the game will not be better than the quality of the referees. And I agree. We need to be there to do...
Absolutely.
Administrate the game.
For sure.
Yeah, I got to write that down. That's a great quote, Marcus. The quality of the game won't be better than the quality of the officials. And I, you know, I think you guys both brought that up as far as like officiating. Jed, you said that just that the officiating has gotten better, a better understanding of what a foul actually is. And it is funny because yes, I do think that there's it's shifted that a lot more is being allowed. But there's still a very big stigma of like, I mean, you know, in any of the videos that we post on social media, anyone in the United States immediately is like, oh, this is why I hate flag football. I don't care about these international rules. They don't let anything go, this and that. And I'm watching these games in Europe. I'm watching them in Panama. And there's games where there's only one or two penalty flags thrown. You know, and I think it kind of goes around international teams that play IFAF a lot, so they understand what they can't get away with, so they're not doing that. They're more disciplined, and then the officiating is getting better as well, where they're doing that. I mean, it also is very, you know, it's very different from, and I don't know what like amateur flag football looks like in Europe, but I mean, you know, we have a hard time getting players to wear the right flags, to have a team in all the right color jerseys. Like, you know, there's like, you know, so it's so very different from the product that's happening internationally. So, you know, it in a lot of ways, it's kind of crazy to, you know, let people voice like, oh, you know, this isn't right. This is that. Now, the other thing I want to bring up real quick, Jed, just with you, because I saw you while I was watching some of these big games in China. Now, something, again, that I was taught prior to Charlotte was the whole after a touchdown. Basically, I was told that if the ball is not handed right back to the official, everything should get flagged. And, Jed, I want to tell you, you had a party going on in your end zone. I mean, there was
you know, like, and, like, that's, again, like, I obviously I run my page as well, and I know what gets views and I know what gets engagement and whatever. And, you know, the people who organize this sport, they're not stupid. They know that all videos of celebrations get clicks, get views. Yep. Let's be, you know, as long as no one's being there doing anything that's gratuitously offensive, you know, it's the Key and Peele thing, isn't it, with the pumps or whatever, like, you know, three pumps good, three pumps bad, or, you know, like, that's it's like, as long as no one's doing anything that's like haunting to a point where, you know, like, or anything like that, we want to let them have fun. Like, ultimately, like, This sport's about, sport in general is about having fun. And if they want to go out there and they want to do some, you know, something, you know, that little choreographed thing, as long as it doesn't, you know, it's not too drawn out or anything like that, let the kids play, let the kids have fun. Like, you know, I mean, I say kids, they're some of them my age, but, like, you know, like,
that's same thing. Whole,
yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's one of the things that I hate is when we flag like celebrations or stuff like that aren't taunting, that aren't, you know, trying to get a rise out of it. Because ultimately, like, people want to be happy and people want to jump around, and it, like I said, it makes nice content. It gets views. Like, you know, like some of the stuff the American girls like choreograph is like, I love it. Like, absolutely. I want to, like, you know, dap them up after the celebration and say, I love that. No, I won't do that.
Right.
You know, but, like, I do enjoy it. And I think, you know, we need to accept the fact that the stuff that gets views, that is something that gets views, and that is something that engages with an audience on social media. And we need to make sure that we're not limiting that kind of side of things just by being overly officious and really kind of stuck up about it. So, you know, I'm a massive fan of when they said to us, you know, before these tournaments, they said, oh, you know, let's just, as long as it's nothing stupid, like, and egregious, like, let them crack on with the celebrations. I'm like, thank you. You know, brilliant. Let them do it. I love the creativity. I love the kind of fun that the players are having, and ultimately, let them do it. Like, you know, let's create some viral videos from it. Like, it's great, absolutely. And long may that continue. Like, more celebrations, more interesting stuff. We want this game to be about personalities. We want it to be about people, you know, big characters, and part of that is them showing off a little bit after touchdowns, after picks, after whatever, you know. So let's give them that platform.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think me and Jacob have talked about the fact that we're not in the rooms, you know, the referee rooms prior to these big tournaments and all of that, so we don't know what's being talked about as far as like, hey, like, let's review this. I know as far as when, you know, for here in the United States, Jacob has meetings prior to every tournament. He's talking to officials. I think the big things that he's always conveyed to me as far as officiating, you know, you don't want to see the gun stuff. You don't want to see, you know, trash talk is cool until it gets to a point where you're, you know, calling people outside their name. And, you know, because those are things in, you know, nationally, well, internationally, even more so because of language barriers, you don't know what's going to insult somebody.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I think that, you know, plays into it. In Charlotte, I think there was just, there was a lot of tension with the game, the men's game between the United States and Mexico. And the championship, I mean, within the first couple of minutes of the game, there was a personal foul. There was almost a player disqualified. It got like intense very quickly, and the officials had to reel it back in. Yeah, so man. I think there's some of those games where you just know, you know, and unfortunately we didn't get it in Panama, but you know, those ones are gonna have to be controlled in a different way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And like sometimes so much of this kind of stuff is context dependent, and you know, I mean, it's difficult to talk about. You know, officials, we love it to be black and white, and we love like this is a foul and this is not a foul. But then when it comes to this kind of side of things, so much of it depends on, like, you know, I've done games where, you know, it's people who know each other and they get on and they want to just have some fun and they want to, like, you know, and you know what, like, absolutely brilliant, like, go on, guys. But then you do these games where there's a little bit of edge to it and spice to it, and you know, those are the ones where you're like, all right, so I need to be like, but then so much of that is down to us as officials to be kind of preventative about it. And like, so, you know, one of my big things I always tell my guys to do is, like, you know, if there's a score or something, like, go and get the ball off the player who's just scored and get it spotted for the try. Like, first thing you should be doing is running over there and be like, give me the ball, please. Give me the ball, please. Because then they know you're there, and they know that, you know, if they do something stupid, they'll be like, well, there's an official right there standing right next to me or whatever. So, like, so much of that we can cut off before any of it starts escalating by just being there and just, you know, trying to just push it forward and not giving them the time to do those stupid things that I sort of mentioned before, where that kind of like raises the temperature and raises the temperature and raises the temperature. So yeah, it's difficult, and it's always hard when there's stuff that you're like, oh, well, you know, if this happens in one type of game, I probably don't flag it. But if it happens in a different type of game, I might flag it. And, you know, we don't necessarily want those as officials. But I think when it comes to this kind of side of things, it's just so dependent on what the actual context of the game is.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, Marcus, you go ahead, Jacob.
No, go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah, I was going to say, Marcus, do you feel like there was, in Tampa, there was like a big adjustment period for you to, like, those first few games, like figuring out what am I allowing, what's okay as far as trash talk?
Some games it allowed to dive, I think you can dive with some, or is it not? It was something that I think it was jumping, and it was not enough to jump, and Sonia, my favorite referee, came up to me, did they jump? Yeah, it's okay. No, they can't jump here. Okay, we have a flag. But all the first games, when they start laddering the ball after line of scrimmage, I stand there with the flag. No, it's okay. Come on, it's okay. It was hard, but when you had officials around you that helped you, it was easy to convert to the rules, and they explained the rules before. But the hard thing was you have a game in one type of football, and the next was another type. Okay, what is the rules in this game? So that was the hard thing. But, and you talk about jerseys. I had one game, I counted. It was 7 different jerseys at the field at the same time. That's about, okay. And I think that two was similar in each team. So, yeah, whatever. So, but I will do it again. No problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Jacob, you have another question about this topic, or I'm going to move on?
Keep going.
All right, cool. So, Jed, I do want to run through, just because I know you've been, like, all over the globe, so I want to run through it real quick just in the last couple months. As far as, like, you know, the results of some of these games, for the World Games, was that a surprise to you how it all went? even just Austria, how well they did.
I mean,
the Mexico one. What was the big surprise from the World Games?
There were some crazy games at that tournament. And, you know, I mean, I started that tournament with Austria against China, and Austria have been, in terms of European, they've been, you know, one of the big European teams for a long time now, you know, since I started. And so, you know, kind of went into that game, you know, we did China with that unknown quantity, and we had no idea what we were going to get. But I thought, you know, Austria are a very good team. So you kind of have an idea of how it might be going. You'd be like, all right, is this going to be one where we're, you know, it's 25 point difference in the second half, we're just trying to let things come to an end? And I think maybe in my head that was what it was going to be. And then what did it end up being? It was like 49 45 or something, or 49 46. And it was just like, okay, so this wasn't what we expected to be. So like, that was insane, like, you know. And it was great to see China in their first ever games performing at such a high level with, you know, one of the really well established teams. That was amazing. I mean, it's not boring because they're both amazing teams full of amazing athletes, but we kind of knew that it was going to come down to the USA and Mexico. I mean, that was the great thing about Panama recently, was, you know, Canada are getting in there as well. I think that's a big one. But, you know, it's the way I've always kind of described it is like those two, that USA and Mexico, it's like, you know, they're two heavyweights, aren't they? And they go slugging it out, and it coming back to them again. It's such a good story of the last 5 years or whatever of, you know, those two teams. So, I mean, that was not unexpected, but, you know, I didn't expect was the final to be 0-0 up until about 1 minute left in the first half. You know, I mean, it's very rare that we get those games where, you know, the defenses turn out like that. So that was a bit kind of unexpected. And, you know, I remember looking at the scoreboard, you know, in that final, and I think, you know, shoot, it's like 1 minute left in the half, and it's like no one scored. Like, what's happened here? But yeah, you know, it was a good, you know, it was great to see those two again in what is it, like the fourth, you know, final or whatever they've been playing this in the last 5 years, you know. So, you know, fantastic there. But also, like I said, great to see some of these new teams like China coming out and putting in some really good performances. So yeah, some really interesting stuff from the established teams, but also some really exciting stuff from the teams. And I think, like I said, it's such a global sport now, and it's great to see, you know, people who perhaps you wouldn't expect to be performing really well coming out and showing up.
Yeah, for sure. So Marcus, I want to jump to you with the Euros. Any surprises as far as that went? I know Italy is a powerhouse, and they won the men's. Women's came down to a 2-point conversion. But what were your thoughts on the Euros?
I'm surprised that a couple of teams came up in top level. Like Slovenia was seventh, if I remember it right. But I've seen them in a couple of tournaments. The club teams better and better, so they are good. But that was a little surprised that it came up, and it's good for the flag football in Europe that team from that area is coming up and are good, because I think we can get more from it. But it wasn't end that Germany missed the playoff. That was a big surprise for me. But they play in the same group as Slovenia, and they beat them, if I remember it right. So, but otherwise, from the beginning, I said before the Euro start that it would be Austria and Great Britain in the final, and it was right for women. And Italy, France, Austria, and Germany was my top team for the men, so it was a big surprise. But
so Jed, back to you. I got two different scenarios that happened. So Mexico and Canada played in Panama, and Mexico went for two to take the lead, and they didn't convert, and they ended up losing that game to Canada. Same thing here in the Euros. It was overtime, Great Britain, Austria, and Austria goes for two. They don't convert. So what's your thought as a fan of football?
Anyone who goes for one is a coward in that situation. You go for two, you take that game, you put the ball in your offense's hands, and you say, let's win this game here and now. And I worked the men's game after the women's final, and I was stood there with some of the guys, the other people on the crew, watching the end of the women's game, and you know, GB scored, went for one, got it, and then Austria scored, and I said, you go for two here. Whether you give your quarterback the chance to win that game, because all you're saying by going for one is like, all right, let's play again and see what happens. No one knows what's going to happen when you start going to that shootout overtime or whatever. Like that's anything can happen. You put the ball in your offense's hands and you say, go and win us that game, and you either end up looking like a hero or you don't get it, and you know it sucks. But when the Austrian coaches made that choice, I was like, nothing but respect for those coaches. Like I have, you know, that is I make that call. If I was a coach, I'm never going to be a coach at that level, but if I was, that is a call that I am making every time. Like, put the ball in your best player's hands and let them try and make something happen. And like I said, sometimes it doesn't work, but you know, this is what that sport, isn't it? So 100% love it. Like, absolutely. If ever I am actively disappointed, if I'm officiating a game and a team scores and they've got a choice of going for one to tie up, you know, right at the end of the game, they've got a choice of scoring, going one to either tie, you know, we have ties in our regular season league here. Which I know is a scary concept for Americans, like ties. It's when teams score the same and the game just ends, guys. I don't know how much you know about that. But... if a team goes for the tie, I'm always like slightly disappointed in my soul, like on the sideline. I'm like, come on, guys, just go for the win or bust. Like, I love that as an attitude. So every time I'm go for two there.
Gotcha. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my only challenge to that, and we just had somebody in the chat say the same thing. In both of those games, the defenses were playing really good. Canada's defense was playing really good, as well as Great Britain was down most of that game, and then they charged back. They had a huge interception in the second half. I mean, I see what you're saying, and trust me, I'm going for – when I was coaching the team, we're going for two every time, win or lose, you know, we're not going to a tie and all of that. But those defenses were making a stand like, hey, we're the best on the field right now.
Yeah, but I still, you know, I mean, it's one play, like put it in your QB's hands and let them make something happen. Like I will – live on the, you know, this is the train that I am riding, like, every time. And you know, I mean, it turns out that it's something that I'm surprisingly passionate about. I didn't know that I was so passionate about going every time, but you know, I've learned something about myself sitting on this show. So you know, there we go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I do want to just kind of look ahead a little bit with you guys. But first, I have a really important question. Me and Jacob were talking about this. So our understanding, and I don't know if you know this about us Americans, not only are we not good at geography, we're not good at math either. So,
whoa. First of all, you're not good at geography. I'm good at geography.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right. Anyways, my mistake. Yeah. So nope. Europe...
No, we don't have polar bear at streets in Sweden. No.
Okay. That was my next question. But like...
No.
That's because I haven't made the trip over there yet.
Yeah, so Europe got seven teams in for Dusseldorf. America's got five. Africa, one of like the second biggest continent, right? They got one, and Asia's only getting three. Is that okay? Like, do those numbers add up? I mean, I know they add up to 16, but should they be different numbers?
I think it's an interesting kind of question. I mean, especially with how they've moved the tournament, you know, with it being 16 teams and you having to kind of qualify for it. There's a balance, isn't there, between we want teams from all around, you know, it's a world championship. We can't just have a load of European and a load of America's teams in there. You know, if we just said, let's take the top 16 teams in the world, it means that it would be mainly European and America's teams in there. We need there to be a spread of teams from around the world, but then at the same time, we want the best teams. You know, we want every game should be a hard game, shouldn't it? At that level. And we don't want someone there who's making up the numbers sounds a little bit harsh. I don't think I mean it quite in that way. But you know, you want there to be, you know, we want there to be competitive games. I talked about it being a product, and part of the sport being a product is exciting, close games that are enjoyable to watch.
You want quality over quantity.
We need to kind of weight it so that, you know, we are getting more of those, you know, the highest level teams there, while also making sure that we've got, you know, teams from all different continents and representing everyone. So, you know, I definitely think I see like the pros and cons to both sides of it. But I do think the kind of system that they've got is actually a pretty good one, because we have got teams from all around the world, you know, all different continents there. But we've also got, you know, we're making sure that all the teams there are high quality, and that whatever we end up with the groups being whoever ends up getting matched up with anyone, it means that every game should hopefully be exciting and close and competitive. And, you know, that's what we really want, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I just think that, you know, in a lot of ways, this game is growing at such a fast speed, you know, that there's a lot of catching up, whether it's officiating, whether it's figuring out, you know, which continents are going to get what, you know, I mean, the Africa's had their first tournament, so it kind of makes sense that only the winner got in, you know, but how do you then turn that 16 into 6 for the Olympics, and how does that make sense?
I don't want to go there. Like, I don't even want to think about what that looks like, man. Like, that is, you know, it's crazy what that's going to look like and how that's going to work. And, you know, that is for people who have far, far higher salaries than I do, you know, like, to kind of make those decisions. Like, there are far more important people who will be trying to weigh that all up. Like, honestly, I have no idea. And I think it's, that, like, with it, with the Olympics, with it only being 6 teams, there's going to be people left out in the cold from that who absolutely deserve to be there. And that's going to really, really suck for some teams, like, who are like right on that kind of, like, you know, on that edge. And it's, you know, especially with it being our first time there. And, you know, I don't know, you know, we obviously, flag football wants to go back, but this is kind of our opportunity to showcase ourselves a little bit. It's going to be really tough. And, you know, I've got quite a lot of, you know, close friends who are part of the GB women's setup, and they're tense already about it. I talk to the, like, you know, one of the managers for the team quite a lot, and she's already like, this is stressing me out. Like, I think just even thinking about it, because they're one of those teams who should be, you know, they're right around there, like, at that point of, like, they should be going, but they could easily, you know, miss out as well at the same time. And it's a really, I'm glad that I don't really have skin in that game, to be honest, because, like, right, it would be killing me already. I just go out there and all, you know, I mean, from a personal perspective, that's my aim, my aspiration is I want to be officiating at Olympics. I think it'd be so, so cool. You know, just such an amazing thing to kind of happen. And that's what I drive towards myself. But I also know that, you know, it's much easier for me to kind of control all those variables as an individual than it is as a team that has so much more kind of going into it. So yeah, like it's going to be crazy. There's going to be people who are going to miss out who absolutely could have been going. And yeah, we'll see how the next couple of years go, man. Like it's going to be scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so Marcus, let me, because Jed, once again, Jed being Jed, skated around the answer, and so I gotta turn to the King of Sweden. I'm putting you on the hot seat, all right? You are the Olympic Committee, and it's right now. You gotta pick the 16s for men's and women's.
Oh, wow.
Give me pick one, men's or women's. I want to know which six you're putting in.
U.S., Mexico, I think Canada will make it. It's hard to say. If Italy had the team that had in European Championship, maybe. Germany, home field, it's always good to have. Six. No, I don't want to guess. Six. It's if women is the same, US, Mexico, I would say what I saw with Great Britain in Euros when they won that, they will be better in World Championship, so they will take a spot. Austria, they were close to US in World Games, but two more, it's difficult to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's for me, when I look at the number six, I'm thinking that one or two of that trio, U.S., Canada, Mexico, yeah, is going to get left out.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you upset 75% of the world in the Olympic Games? But like, you can't just have one continent represented.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
but
I think it has to be, right. This is just speculation, but it would be, you consider your host country, they get an automatic bid, right?
Yeah.
So let's say we're really playing for five spots. You have the four continentals, right? Am I wrong? The Americas, Europe, Asia, and Africa now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you got the four continentals, and then you have one at large. And I'd say you just have one tournament where you take all the winners of the continentals and let the winner, whoever wins, that's who gets the spot. Can you imagine?
Oh yeah, exactly, and that's the situation that we're going to be, you know, potentially going to be in, is we're going to have like those slots are like gold dust, and like I don't know what that's going to look like in terms of how those teams qualify, but when it comes out, like, it's going to be crazy, the games that, you know, that I mean, it was crazy this year at the Euro. I mean, when they announced how the qualification was going to work for the Worlds next year, it meant that games, the Euros just gone, games that would previously, these games would mean nothing. Like, you know, it was a game on the Saturday morning, you know, on the last day, on the morning of the last day. And it was the bracket for fifth to eighth. And you know, they're just, and like previous years, all that was just like, oh, we just want to play these games to figure out where we're going to be in the rankings or whatever. And suddenly these games went from being, oh, we're just playing these just to find out where we are, to, oh, we need to win this game to qualify for the World Championships next year. And honestly, one of the most intense games I worked all tournament was one of those games on the Saturday morning. It was Israel, Denmark, and you know, they were both, it was 41-40 final, and it was a crazy game, and they were leaving everything out there, and it meant, you know, it was, yeah, and previous years that was a worthless game, basically. That game didn't mean anything. It was just, you know, I mean, the difference between finishing fifth and sixth or seventh and eighth in the Euros before, whatever. You know, I mean, great, you know, right. It's pride or whatever. But then suddenly it was like, right, there's something we're playing for here. And if you just take that intensity that from that game and times it by 100, you're not even close to what the what those games will be like, that, you know, when it's announced, what they'll mean for qualifying for the Olympics. So there's right. going to be a lot of passion on those fields, and it's going to be whoever ends up officiating that. All I can say God for those people them. Is good luck, guys, because you know that's going to be intense.
Yeah,
no, I'm proof for those, like.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Jed, you brought it up earlier, just the fact of like this is a very young sport. So even if we look to other sports that have been in the Olympics for 100 years, we can't do that comparison, you know, because it's just everything's amplified. In the 1930s, when basketball first came around, they didn't have social media. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have the, you know, the NBA involved in all of it. They, you know, so everything, there's so much looking towards this. It's being talked about in the Super Bowl, all over, you know, social media. I mean, yeah, it is going to be crazy. I remember it in Panama watching, it was like Brazil, Argentina, and it was the same thing. It was like 45-43 was the final score. Like they were playing for everything, and it was for sixth place. It was the final spot. Like, so, you know, or fifth place. So yeah, I mean, that's, I think the intensity of all of these international games has increased. I guess one final question I do have before I let you guys go, because geography is my passion. Jed, why does Israel play in the Euros?
I don't. this is. I have you got another 2 hours? You want to kind of like, there's a lot of reasons that probably it isn't.
It's your question yet.
Okay, all right. We, you know, me and Jacob were talking about the different countries that maybe were on the cusp, you know, like Georgia and, you know, some of the, you know, and also,
I mean,
you know, we just read about history stuff, so we don't know.
I think from there's a lot of kind of like, I guess, political things would be how you would describe it. But then, you know, it's the same for people like Georgia, you know, where they aren't really in Europe, but they play in Europe. I think, you know, just from how they kind of where they kind of end up. I think a lot of it is also kind of driven by, I mean, it's the same in soccer as well, where, so Australia, for example, Australia play as a Asian team in soccer. They're part of like the Asian Federation. Oh, they play in the Asian Championship. Australia is not in Asia. It's not, you know, and they do that because it, like, it guarantees them more competitive games, because they're playing stronger teams. Because if you look at Oceania as a group, Australia is by far the biggest country, and with, you know, they were beating, I think, you know, there's a famous story about Australia beating American Samoa 36-0 at soccer, you know, in like when they were playing in that kind of federation. So there's loads and loads of kind of different reasons that teams do it. But yeah, let's say difficult question. Not sure I really am equipped to answer that one.
Fair enough. Yeah, we just started looking at the team names, and I was like, wait a minute. I said, Israel's not in Europe. Turkey's not.
Oh, yeah, but yeah. Turkey as well. Not naturally, you know, a little bit of Turkey in Europe. I mean, Georgia, not the Georgia that you guys are probably thinking of. You know,
right,
they didn't have the accent. It's a slightly different accent compared to the Georgia that you guys are probably used to,
we started looking and we were like, wait, this doesn't seem right.
Okay, but right. And playing devil's advocate, if I'm, if, for example, if I'm Israel and the Africa, you know, they right. just Africa just had their first tournament. Why not go to Africa and win it? Guarantee your spot.
Well, I mean, I think there's also a case of like, you know, how you kind of you want to test yourself against the best. And it's like that analogy I just gave with Australia and soccer. You know, you want to be playing yeah. against the best team. The only way you get better is by playing against the best teams and like pushing yourself to play top level, you know, top high quality. Like, it's great if you're winning games all the time or whatever, but I don't know that you don't, do you learn as much from, you know, beating everyone really easily compared to actually pushing yourself and stretching yourself and being challenged by those big games as well. So, you know, I think there's a lot of different kind of bits and pieces that feed into it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, Marcus, yeah, we appreciate both of you guys joining us. We know you guys got to get to bed. Thank you so much for your time. Anything you guys want to plug, your show, anything, feel free to. Jed, you're up first.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you can find me on Instagram. I'm the Zebra Pen. I started it by just kind of talking to officials I kind of knew around the world. I think there's so many cool stories from officials that they can kind of tell. We've evolved a little bit now that I realize that what the general public actually wants is just controversial plays and me talking about them. I'm giving the people what they want. Like, you know, so our content's evolved a little bit, but you can find us on Instagram at the Zebra Pen. So give us a follow. It'd be fantastic to kind of see more people in there. Remember, we are primarily IFAF rules with the content we place, so I don't want any angry Americans in the comments saying, like, how is this a flag? Like, we're stricter, but we're trying to fix that as well. But, yeah, it'd be great. But, yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. All right, go ahead, Marcus.
I must say a fun fact first regarding Olympic Games. They had a competition in Olympic Games 1912 that was held in Stockholm. They compete in art.
Oh, nice. Hey,
well, we just, you think about it, we just had breakdancing in the last
Olympics. Yeah, of course. No, so, I'm thankful to be here. I'm looking forward to January. It's just 100 days away. So catch up with you again and have some fun games with maybe 8 different jerseys on the field.
Well, what I need to do is just put my wife in contact with you, probably Jacob, and get you to sweet talk. Just get you to sweet talk her into letting me come to Tampa, because that's one of the ones that I want to tick off. I'll be 100% honest. It's on my flag football bucket list of things that I want to do. Like I said, it's difficult with a 2-year-old and the amount of travel that I do at the moment, but at some point, like, if you can whisper some sweet words and, like, you know, sell it to her about how you let me come over, then it would be absolutely fantastic. Like,
listen, brother, listen, man, if you need that permission slip sign, just send it right there. I'll get it taken care of for you, my friend. We'll get you here. We need absolutely. Marcus will tell you it's a great time. We have a good It's an insane 5 days, but it's a great time. So anything we need to do, but definitely appreciate you guys for hopping on.
That's sure. Right, yeah, we'll see you guys soon.
So y'all be good.
There we go. Wow. So, and our Instagram has been going crazy tonight.
Joe's been commenting. The charts.
Yeah, she's everywhere. Well, she's excited about the Asias coming up.
Yep,
so
yep.
You know, and shout out to my nephew out in Hawaii. and we got Bad Rabbits. That's my favorite youth team. Bad Rabbits.
He's doing the halftime show, right?
Oh my goodness. I don't even know how to continue this conversation.
What do you mean?
Bad Bunny, not Bad Rabbit.
Oh.
It's a big difference, man.
What's what? What's the difference between Bad Rabbit and Bad Bunny?
Well, Bunny's the child version.
Whoa.
The youth team.
Whoa, man.
Oh, no. Bad. Okay. Oh, no. Oh. Bad Rabbit's is the youth team. Oh, you. all right. Fair enough. So I gotta bring up some crazy flag football news, rumor kind of stuff. Well, it's not a rumor. I know it's true. Did you know that Maddie? Maddie from the national team. She moved from Texas to California. Did you know that?
Okay.
So there's got to be like a free agent frenzy going on right now. Like, who is setting up an NIL deal for Maddie right now? Like, there's, you know, they got leagues out there, Air Raid, Tough with women's leagues. They got co-ed teams. Like, is she unit? Is Jonah on the phone with Maddie? Like, how do I get you on my team? Is Turbo? Turbo could use another receiver. Like, it's exciting.
Look, you're not taking the ball away from receiver number one, Becca, with Top Shelf.
Okay, all right. So Top Shelf is out. They don't want her, is what you're telling me.
Whoa. Never said that. don't put words in my mouth, mister.
Okay. San Diego Blitz. They're not that far from Orange County. They play in San Diego. Dama, you know, she slings that rock. Like,
maybe.
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, do you think she's going to play local ball, right?
No, I don't know. Probably not. She's on the national team. What's she worried about local ball for?
I mean, you got to, you know, you don't want to just get rusty.
No, her name's Maddie, not Rusty.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Oh, okay.
All right. I thought you would have an opinion, but no.
I don't have an opinion on who's mine's gonna go play with locally. I'm not worried about that.
Okay, all right.
It's like you don't even know me.
I was just trying to, you know, just trying to reel you in. But no, okay,
you
fair enough.
Bait the line better.
I guess you're right. It's exciting to me. I was like, I remember, you know, a bit ago she mentioned she was moving, and right away I was like, this could be fun. If she goes and plays at Air Raid or something, like, that's an up and coming league. Like, that would bring a lot of excitement. You know, they have lots of media. I don't know. Anyway,
I'm minus for these plugs you're giving. Good grief.
I mean, hey, you know, it's a cool league. I'm not mad about it.
All right.
Yeah. The other thing I just want to bring up, because there's a lot of confusion, specifically out of Kansas City for some reason. As far as the rankings go, let me just be clear about these rankings, okay? If you don't play in USA flag tournaments, you're not going to end up on one of these lists.
Yeah.
That's okay, it. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. USA flag is in the Guinness World Book for a reason. Like, it's the biggest organization. They have the biggest tournaments. There's nothing that matches Tampa. Like, I'm sorry. It's cool that there's other stuff out there where you can play one team and call yourself world champ or whatever, but we don't recognize that in our rankings. So, sorry, not sorry, but that should like blanket cover a lot of the questions. Like, why isn't my team that, you know, played last week and this and that? I'm like, let me double check. Let me look into USA Flag. Nope, you did not play this year in the 20 tournaments that were offered, or however many tournaments were offered.
Pretty close.
Like, yeah, every region had one. Like, there's lots of opportunities, and
the possibilities
and, you know,
are endless.
Exactly. That's right, man. That's right. That's a good John for sure. So this show was a good John. How do you feel? I just want to hear your thoughts, Jacob, because you're absolutely right. You come from the world of contact, Camel City, It's like, you know, it's, I've always said, like, what I love about Contact and what I love about IFAF is they're both very black and white. But I think both of them, and I don't know, you know, what's brought it, but both of them are kind of getting closer and closer to the middle. In a lot of ways, Contact has had to, you know, calm down a little bit, and IFAF is bringing over, you know, a little bit more contact in the game. So how do you feel about, like, the evolution of it all?
I just want to hear you say to let them play.
Let them play. That's crazy. I would never say it.
I just want to hear you say it. It's true.
It's
true.
It's true.
No, honestly, I think it's cool. Like, I mean, I think Contact had this way of tribal knowledge, and there was a lot that went on that was not within the rule book. It was allowed because it was universally known, and we all had, you know, all had the basic understandings of these. If X happens, Y is the result. And we understood that, and we respected it. In today's Contact, we've been able to kind of put in the rule book, if X happens, Y is the result, and make things happen. Whereas I think IFAF is starting to do where the same thing, where they're able to say, okay, this is what it says, but we're going to implant our tribal knowledge. They're getting, you know, I've always said that internationally or in the States, we play football first with flags or then flag. Internationally, it's always been flag first. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like now we're starting to see a healthier blend of all of it. So I think it's really cool to see. I think, like you said, there is definitely an evolution of it all, and you're seeing more uniformity as far as rules go. May not be on the same page, may not be written by the same person. They may be using, you know, slightly different vernaculars to get their points across. But at the end of the day, things are relatively close. People yeah. aren't doing as far out things that are normally happening.
No, for sure. And honestly, I would say in whatever format it is, I feel like the variable that affects how many flags are thrown in a game truly comes down to how many officials are on the field.
Yes and no. I don't feel like it's a how many as much as a who it is. Because
yeah, you okay.
I mean that in a great way. Because you could put you, myself, Lance Lew, and Pat Spence, I'll name drop those four. You could put the four of us on the field, and we each four have our own things that we nitpick. We have our own yeah. four things that we let ride. We have our own four things where our focus generally is that we're trying to maintain, and we also have our own four limits of what we're going to allow and versus yeah. what we're not going to. Our thresholds are all different. It's not a bad thing. Does it take away some of the consistency? Yes, but in an amateur sport like this, that consistency will not be there to what, you know, a professional league like an NFL would be. Even at the IFAF level, you're still not going to get that consistency. It's going to be close, but, you know, we saw it in Finland last year, you know, with what we watched. We saw it in, you know, in Paris this year. We saw it in Panama. Consistency is not – it's close, but it's not perfect. And it'll never be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, no, ultimately there's human error. I mean, you know, NFL games, there's human error just – and they've got, what, seven officials on the field. They've got a booth. They've got, you know,
yeah.
all that going on as well. I mean,
reserves on the sideline, yeah.
Yeah, they've got as many eyes as they possibly can have. And I mean, you're able to see the play on the big screen where, you know, if an official's smart enough, they catch it out of the corner of the eye, they might run over to the officials and talk. We don't have that in flag right. football to be able yep. to, you know, take advantage of that kind of stuff. So, No, I definitely see your point, and I do think, though, I will say this as far as, like, whenever I've officiated with Lance, I know that he's worked enough with me that he knows what I am going to look at, what I'm going to, just like you said, nitpick, what I'm going to focus in on. And so the majority of the time, he's going to put me on the line of scrimmage because I'm going to make sure that that is a clean line of scrimmage. And so he can trust that. And then he doesn't have to worry about that line of scrimmage the entire game. So he can he can put his focus elsewhere. So I see what you're saying in that. I guess my point as far as, like, just as far as blind spots go, you know, you could have the two greatest officials on, you know, on the field, but it becomes a big variable as far as blind spots. I what I noticed and we talked about is, as far as the five-man crew in Paris, well, that game probably did generate a lot more flags, and it wasn't because the officials were doing anything different. It was because the blind spots were cut away.
Yep. Agreed.
So, yeah. So I think that's what maybe my variable that I was trying to generate there. But
I agree with that.
Yeah. So that being said, I think we should wrap this show up. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think we had a good long run. You know, Jed and Marcus were both full of information and fun conversations. So I think this is a good stopping point. Why don't we tell the people where we're at? Besides everywhere, anywhere you get your podcast, we're there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, hit us up if you like to listen while you're on the go. You can go on Facebook if you want to watch it live. You can go on Instagram if you want to watch it live. You can go on YouTube if you want to watch it live. You want to see our ugly mugs with Jordan right up here. Man, that's first time point. That's beautiful, and you missed it. Anyways, if you want to go back in time, you can go on MySpace and watch us. Actually, I don't think you can, but I'm still going to say I'm going to ride this train all the way to the end of the line, whether we're there or not. If we get off the tracks, that's cool. Anyways, so we're back. Ant's got us hooked up on Snapchat, on TikTok, not on MySpace. Sorry, that's just a go-to. It's just an easy flow. Snapchat, TikTok, X, Y, W, any of those apps you use. I saw one of those weird ones called Truth or something. We're probably on that. I don't know. We're on Threads.
There you go.
We're on sewinglovers.com. I don't know what that is. I think that's just like for old ladies who like knit and stuff. We're there. We're everywhere. The goal is, and Ant doesn't know this yet, the goal is next week to have an official merch line launch. So we're going to have all of our stuff out. We're going to have pictures of our stuff with prices, with how it looks on us, how it looks off, not off of us. But we're going to have our stuff everywhere. I don't know, man. It just sounds good. But
we need to be in the laundry room.
What?
You said laundry? Just a big pile of laundry of all of our merch.
Like, all of our merch. We're just shoveling it into the washer. But you can check out the super dope shirts like Ant's got on. I unfortunately didn't get to get my Clocks Running gear out, but we got hoodies that's starting to get cool. We got long sleeves. We got short sleeves that go underneath your uniform. The nice thing about like what Ant's wearing, you can wear that underneath your referee stripes, and that those words are still not going to be shown. We got hoodies, we got hats, we got all sorts of stuff, shorts, we got everything. So check us out. There's a reason we're the undisputed number one podcast in the world right now for flag football. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. You know, the bracelets say America, but we're worldwide, baby.
Yeah,
absolutely. We just covered two countries in one night. So tell me who's better. Yeah,
well, nobody's. Well, better. Three countries because we're in the United States.
Wow, it's really cool when you know. Okay, all right.
Anyway, did you announce it? Did you say it differently at the start of the show?
So you didn't pay attention. You could just say that.
I don't ever pay attention to you when you talk.
I know. Man, of course I did. So something real quick. We'll hit this real quick before we wrap up tonight. You know, we've been a podcast for everything flag football officials, and we realize that We cover everything flag football. We don't just cover officials. Officials are is our priority. Officials is where Ant and I met, and this podcast came to life. And you know, as you see, George, see, I did it right the first time, and you missed it. Then you look, and I missed the point. I start pointing here, and there's nothing there. Jordan's here. Here. Anyways, we've become a podcast of everything flag football. Our goals are still the same, to cover everything we can, to talk as much about flag football as we can, and to bring life to this, bring even more life than it's already there. But make sure you check us out. You know, you like, subscribe, and share to everything that we have. Because the more we have, the more we'll be able to do with this podcast. So, just a little thing. The logo's not going to go anywhere. Jordan's ugly mug's still going to be there. We're still going to be, you know, an advocate for officials. You know, you don't have flag football. You don't have games without officials. But we are moving to a kind of a overarching, you know, thought of we cover everything flag football.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a great upgrade, you know, and ultimately, like you said, our heart is officials because that's who we are. And so we're always going to bring that perspective. We always love having officials both nationally and internationally on. You know, but we have players on as well, and coaches, directors. We just like you said, it's everything flag football. So we have guests from all scopes. But we had members of the media on, photographers. You know, like we've always said, don't just message us and say you want to be on the show. Let us know what you want to talk about. Yeah, you know, we got big things coming up in the next couple months. Battle Orlando, 10th anniversary. Of that, Arlington Nationals. It's, I mean, we haven't had Nationals since Nashville last year, so this one is gonna be big. Yeah. It's like Arlington's like the Dusseldorf of the United States, in my opinion. It's a big deal, and then all roads lead to Tampa.
We added a little pit stop. Right after Nationals.
What?
Swing right on through back to the Bay for the last tournament of the year. And then all roads lead to Worlds.
There we go. Yeah, and you know my guys, my Curry Bomber friends in the Bay, I'm sure they're going to play and have a good time out there. But yeah, Tampa – the international vibe is just increasing. What did you say, Kenya? We got an official from Kenya now coming.
Yep. Talked to a guy from Nairobi today.
This is crazy, man. Like it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But there is no other experience like Tampa. Jed's got it on his bucket list, and he's been at every big tournament that flag football has produced. So if that isn't proof enough. If you're an official, you got to get to Tampa at least once. But you're going to go once, and you're never going to want to miss it again. I've been there as a player, as a coach, as a GM, as an official, as media. I've been there as all the different aspects of it, and I love it. It's such a fun experience. I'm excited for me and my daughter to go this year, and for her to get back into you, get the stripes back on. You know, she's got blue hair right now, so who knows what color she'll have in January. But but that being said, this has been a great episode. I appreciate you, Jacob, as always. And yeah, check out our merch. We're doing something crazy next week, so I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
All right. And appreciate y'all joining us. Have a good night.
Absolutely. See you guys.